You're listening to Ask Your Editor, a writing podcast for writers. Join your hosts, Abby Rotstein, writer, mental health advocate, and stand-up comic, and Amanda Edens, fiction editor for self-publishing writers, to navigate the writer's life and the writing process. You're listening to Ask Your Editor, a writing podcast for writers.
Hello, listeners. This is Amanda Edens with the Ask Your Editor podcast, and I have my co-host, Abby Rotstein, on and live. Today, we're going to talk about the writing process, you know, a little more deeply. And the first thing that you know, always comes up when talking about writing process is, how do you plot a novel? Like, what is your method as a writer in plotting a novel? And there are really three types of camps that I currently come across in writers' groups and, you know, just talking to people in the industry. And it really boils down to whether to outline or not. The first camp is what is called a plotter. Okay, they plot out every single detail of their novel before they ever write a scene. They know exactly what's going to happen. They know the direction of their book, and they know basically the direction to go in. The second camp is called pantsers. Now, that term, I didn't come up with it by myself. It is actually a term that people use, but pantsers fly by the seat of their pants. That's how that term came about. They fly by the seat of their pants. They sit down with a notebook and they just start writing without any direction or idea of where they're going beforehand. And they let the story reveal itself as they go through the process. Now, there's a third camp that's kind of in the middle, and they're called plancers. Now, plancers, it's a funny word. It's also, I didn't make it up either. But what they do is they outline a little bit, they pants a little bit. And the reason why they're called plancers is kind of because it's like they plant a seed of story. They have an idea. So when you're a farmer, you know, this is a tomato seed. It's going to turn into a tomato plant. But the actual growing of that seed or that plant is organic. So they might have a loose outline, or they might have an idea or a premise that they are building toward. And in the process, some exciting things happen along the way. Abby, you are an experienced writer. You've been writing for many years. What camp do you fall in?
I am Team Pantser. I fly by the seat of my pants for the most part. First of all, there's no right way to do it. But I fall into this camp for the most part because I have this weird feeling like if I plan it all out, then the mystery will go away. And I feel like, well, then if that happens, then you can sense it in the writing. So I don't know if you want to talk about that, how you feel about that. That like, do you think the mystery goes away, or is that all in my head?
Maybe it's all in your head. No, I'm just kidding.
It could be.
I don't, you know, when it comes to pantsers, I don't really think it's necessarily a scenario in which the mystery goes away, so much as the amazing thing about pantsers is that, you know, they're open to a wealth of ideas. They're far more, you know, organic than plotters. But at the same time, I think that story can get away from you.
Yes, I completely agree. And I feel like maybe I start as a pantser and then I sort of evolve into a plancer, but that's about, I don't know when it happens in the story, but at a certain point I get to, I know, hey, oh, the end is in sight and I can feel it and I know that this is where it needs to go. So maybe I label myself wrong.
I don't know about that. I mean, I'm an editor and I'm especially a developmental editor. And for those of you who haven't watched our first episode, or sorry, episode zero, a developmental editor deals with the structure of stories and, you know, sort of the big picture view. It's not really a grammar type of thing. They look at the story itself and help the author make changes that are necessary. So as a developmental editor, I do think that there is an inherent type of structure and sort of order to the world and in essence, how we tell stories. So I do think that a pantser can, you know, through the process, unearth that order and find it for themselves without having to plot down every little event.
Okay, I see that. So do you think that there are merits to any of, like, is there anyone that you feel is better than the other? I think you're a planner, right?
I think I would be kind of a planter, but on the side of plotter. So my method, and you know, one can, I guess, make an argument that this is a plotter method. But I do think that, you know, some organic surprises happen. My method is identify the conflict. So in college, I was trained to write literary fiction, and literary fiction is, you know, very character driven, as is, you know, most fiction, in my opinion. But I write very character driven stories, and through the development of a character, I identify the conflict. By identifying the conflict, I'm actually able to identify the climax. So it's almost like working through it's like working on the middle first. And by understanding the middle, I'm able to reverse engineer the beginning and engineer toward the end as well. If you want more information on this method, I actually have a video about it. So feel free to search up, you know, into the description of this episode. I'll link to it. But by identifying the conflict and climax, I'm able to basically unearth a general story arc that serves as a guide. Now, I don't plot out every little thing that happens. Now, my sister is a plotter. My sister writes stories. She's a plotter, or at least she was the last time I checked in. But she would plan it down to the minutia, and I really do think that while it helps some people, I do think that characters are then, you know, more likely to become puppets of the plot rather than making their own decisions. Because if you think about it, you know, as characters develop, I think it's definitely a more organic process. But if the plot is outlined, you know, to like down to the blow by blow, they're not really able to grow organically. They're more growing the way the author originally conceives them of growing, if at all. But I do think the concept of being a plotter has definite advantages in that writer's block is less easily to creep in. Writer's block, I know you don't believe in it, Abby, and that's a it's a topic for another show, but I do think that, you know, plotters are less susceptible to it. They're less susceptible to getting stuck during the process and not moving forward because they always have that journey in mind.
Well, I think, actually, when you put it that way, I kind of have plotter envy. I feel like sometimes I really wish I knew where all of this was going, but then at the same time, I don't know, maybe it's a metaphor for life or something. I don't know. I don't know where anything is going, but I figure it out along the way, and that's how I go from a pantser to a planter somehow.
Well, think about it in terms of life. Like, if you knew where you were going, like, it would take kind of the fun out of it.
Yeah. And then I'd be cursing the evil plotter in the middle of my days.
Why?
Why? I feel like my brain is really messy. And then I have an idea for a story, and then I run with it, and somehow I just keep writing and keep writing. And I have, currently with the novel I'm writing right now, I had this idea for this family, and I know the family pretty well, so I know the characters. And then I put them in motion. I keep coming across this feeling of the writing seems to be doing itself. And I don't quite know how to explain that, but that's what's going on. And I think I have reached the point where I've gone from being a pantser to a planter for this one. There, I crossed that threshold, and it might be because I'm in the third act.
That absolutely makes sense. Like, it's all downhill from there. Everything in the third act, this is my developmental editor coming out of me, but everything in the third act is really the effects of, you know, the climax. And so it follows a much more logical progression than the buildup.
Right. See, and I talked about my novel in that way, knowing that Amanda would say something like that. It was a setup. It was a setup.
So, hashtag writers community on Twitter often talks about, you know, characters speaking to them almost like voices in their head. And I think you sort of touched on that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that once I'm immersed in a story, everything becomes the story. And things, I think it's because even when you're not writing, it's sort of you're subconsciously writing. And so you pick up a lot of things, you make connections, you're always making connections. I guess that's how the brain works. And so when I'm really deep in a project, I'm hearing the characters talking, I'm seeing things happening. I'm like, oh, wait, I need to write that down because that might happen in the story.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. One thing that I do get mad at pantsers. You, I'm mad at you, Abby.
Okay, I'm here.
It's people like you on the forums, in the writers groups, that when a newbie writer, an amateur writer, raises their hand and says, how do I find the plot of my novel? It's people like you that say, oh, just write. That's my biggest pet peeve. It's terrible advice.
And I am guilty of this. This is why I need you. See? Am I in your good graces now? Because I need you, Amanda.
Everyone needs me.
It's true. It's true.
I'm beating writers off my door.
it's happening right now, yes. I have to reluctantly agree that if you are a new writer, and you're overwhelmed by the process, because it can be overwhelming, telling someone just write isn't really all that helpful. So what should I tell them instead?
I tell them that the process is different from everyone, but when it comes to beginnings, start with a character and put them in a situation where they're off balance. And something will happen from there. Or they could do my method. I have a character development method that, you know, I mentioned already, is like finding the heart of the climax. So by developing a character, identifying exactly what they want most in the entire world, and then depriving them of that, as, you know, the writer and playing God, depriving them of what they want in the entire what they want most in the entire world will, you know, help a writer get to the heart of the story. Or they can just, you know, I might not be a pantser, but I do believe in the power of free writing and vomit writing, because by doing prompts, or, you know, just stretching your writing muscles and writing about whatever you want for a while, you might actually stumble across a diamond, you know?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I definitely agree with that. So what I'm learning is that we all want to be gods, but we have to step back a little bit. But we have to step back and let the process work for us. Mm-hmm. I'm a really messy kind of writer, but also I think that even with process and some kind of planning, I still think that you're not going to 100% lose the feeling of that overwhelming feeling of what do I do next. And I think that might be organic as part of the writing.
Yeah, you know, I've been a little bit hard on pantsers, but you know, let's return to that idea of, like, you know, the plotter plotting out every little thing in order to mitigate that feeling of what I do next. And I've read novels, actually almost every novel I read, there's a scene where I'm like, you know, this is reading a little bit like a list. This happened and this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. And sometimes it's all in one paragraph. Well, she went to the store, then she came home, and then she put something in the crock pot. I'm guilty of it. My first story, freshman year of a college, was kind of like that. She did this during her day, she did that. And when that kind of thing is just like listed out, we're not really getting to the heart of, you know, what's important, both to the character and to the reader.
Right. It's become sort of a plot device. I need to get to this moment in time, so I'm going to list out everything. And we'll get there.
Yeah. Maybe pantsers do it too, but I find plotters tend to, you know, have that. And that's, you know, the nature of having such a detailed outline, is that they're basically filling in the gaps of that outline with either exposition or narrative.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's where editing can come in, where you can see that. When you finally, yes, that's where Amanda comes in, and you see the entire novel story, whatever it happens to be, and then you can say, you know what, I think we need to chop this out of here. Although she would say it in a kinder way.
Not always. but seriously, like, even self-editing, like, you know, a lot of self-publishing authors don't really have the money to afford an editor, but, you know, I say the same thing, is the magic happens in the revision. Like, getting the story on paper is the hard part. Don't beat yourself up too much. Everything will come together when you revise it.
This is true. That's absolutely true. And speaking of the first draft, I think that it's absolutely the hardest thing, but I like to tell myself to, and I don't always follow my advice, but I like to tell myself to give myself the gift of a first draft. And I like calling it a gift because it makes it sound nice and fun, and that's when I just allow myself to write whatever and not go back, not edit, indulge myself, knowing that I'll probably edit that stuff out later, but it gets it down on paper or on the computer, and you get your you get the draft, you get the plot start to finish.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, I always talk about the writers' forums. If you're listening to us for the first time, you're kind of noticing that. And the reason why is because, you know, I'm in a lot of writing groups, and these online groups have upwards of 70,000 members. And so it really gives me kind of a pulse on the community and long-held beliefs by both amateur and experienced writers. And something that I've seen sometimes, like, in the group is like, oh, how do I build this symbol or this theme or this motif into my novel? And I always tell them, write the story, guys. Symbols and stuff, like, when you think about classic literature, I don't mean like classic literature like Greek mythology, but like the classics, the stuff that we read in our literature classes in high school and in college, the symbolism and the themes of those books probably weren't there in the first draft. It's the author wrote the story, stayed true to the story, and then when revising, got a feeling. And then that feeling strengthened. And then they, in the revision, strengthened that feeling so that the readers would feel it too, whether it's a symbol or a theme or whatever. So I think trying to be intellectual or trying to convey a certain message ultimately can hurt.
I think that ultimately, I think that's one of the reasons why I am hesitant about being a plotter, which is not to say that plotting everything out is wrong. In fact, I like I said, I have plotter envy because I just want to know where my story is going. But that's really just to alleviate the fear of where's my story going. And you're right. I hate to admit this, but Amanda's right again. The magic does happen in the editing, and your symbols you can refine them in that editing process. They come out, they're essentially, I don't know, buried within the story, and then they're unearthed later on.
Yeah, I think Stephen King in his book on writing says something about, you know, finding the fossil and then, you know, taking out the little tools. And maybe he doesn't say that. Maybe I'm making it up. But, you know, you take out the brush and then you start to, right, like, find the velociraptor.
Right. And velociraptors are cool, so we want to find them.
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs are cool, and so symbolism. And meanwhile, back at the writing studio, I'm trying to do a segue to pantsers and planters and plotters, and I'm failing.
What else do we have to say about pantsing and planting and plotting? NaNoWriMo. Now, maybe sometime we might do a whole segment about NaNoWriMo. But the concept of NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month. And the idea is to, as a writer, free oneself of inhibitions and knock out a whole entire novel in 1 month. 50,000 words is the goal, really. To write 50,000 words all in 1 month, just massive push. And really that's to get over, you know, like get over yourself as a writer, just put some words on the paper. And a lot of people actually use October, hashtag Preptober, to plot themselves and set themselves up for a successful NaNoWriMo.
Cheaters. Not really. You're not cheaters. I get it.
I mean, the common criticism of NaNoWriMo is like, well, if you're just like vomiting on the page, then at the end of the month, you have vomit on a page.
Right. We've mentioned vomit quite a bit today, I think. Free writing is vomiting. But that we can get into that metaphor at another time. But I think with only touching on that just a little bit, the just writing for an entire month, in a way, that's a pantser's dream. So it's a way of at least experiencing what my messy brain goes through when I'm writing all the time.
I just like the idea of furiously creating.
Yes. I think I want a shirt that says furiously creating now.
Maybe when this episode airs, we will have merchandise. No, we won't. Maybe someday we'll have merchandise and it will say furiously creating.
Furiously, yes. Have we covered everything about pantsers, planters, plotters?
I don't know, Abby. Have we?
I think we have.
Do you have anything more to say about the writing process in general? Not necessarily plotting an outline or lack thereof, but just the writing process in general that you want to touch on before we go?
I think that, and maybe this will help revise my comment of just write, even though that's what I'm going to say into the future. But I also want to add that just write doesn't work if you're not disciplined. And you do also have to set aside the time to write. Some people have a certain word count that they want to meet. Other people say that they want to write for, let's say, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, a day, whatever their whatever they want for themselves. So yes, just write, that's part of the process, but also the process needs a little bit of discipline. And I will fully admit that sometimes I lack that discipline, but it helps to set aside whatever time or whatever word count you want. And that really does get the work done.
Abby, that's really sage advice. I don't think you're the only one who doesn't have that discipline. I mean, if you just see how many writers are on Twitter every day, that'll give you an idea. Like, I'm dead serious. Some people even make the joke, does my tweet count toward my word count goal? But I think I want to be hardline like Abby and say, like, you know, the story isn't going to write itself, folks. You got to put your pen to your paper, your fingers to the keyboard. But I'm kind of a more nurturing, compassionate when it comes to this, in that the majority of writers I've come across are, you know, stay-at-home moms, or they work full-time at a day job that is not as inspiring as their writing life. And, you know, sometimes it can be hard to sort of build it in. And that struggle is real. And, you know, maybe that is also a subject for another podcast. But so, yeah, you know, it's a struggle. And I don't want to minimize that struggle at all. But I do want to say, you know, if it's important to you, you gotta build it in, whether that's, you know, starting a new outline today, or writing a new beginning, or pantsing through your current work in progress, either way. But build it in. If it's important, you'll find a way to build it in.
All right.
Okay, so we are going to end the episode. If you're finding this on social media or, you know, something else, I will include the link to that plotting methodology video that I've created, as well as a link to the character profile exercise that I mentioned in the episode. So you can find those resources somewhere, like in the description or something like that. Thank you, and have an awesome day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Ask Your Editor. For links or clarification on this episode, visit the show notes on askyoureditor.com. Get notified when new episodes are released by visiting askyoureditor.com/subscribe. And be sure to like our page at facebook.com/askyoureditor.